next 10 years or the next, you know, the rest of my career at least, do people here feel that we're likely to see some observational effects of what I would say not the standard model of black holes? That we might see something that tells us that the standard model of black holes, as it's sort of taught in the textbooks now, is wrong.
Well, it depends on how well we do
with that. Yes, but do you expect, or do you think there's a reasonable chance, or is this all this kind of factors of 10 to the minus 70 and we're all...
Do you want both? Or
yeah. I want to hear people's opinions. I want to hear if anybody thinks, yes, I think, you know...
Yes!
You've heard opinions, I said yes.
No.
Yeah, you've said yes.
No.
No, you're a no.
No.
I mean,
no.
That's
quite
a yes.
Possibly.
Quite possibly.
That's possibly.
So it looks like 50-50, right? Oh, everybody, you said something.
I said yes. Yeah, well, I mean, so I have no idea. So, so I like...
That's a good option.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is...
Sources are detected, like unexpected sources that we don't know right now. Which would be...
Not with the type of things that are being detected now, and the black holes that we know of, and the binaries, and the...
I mean, some crazy signal that we cannot make sense of immediately.
You're excluding LISA with your time frame. Is that a deliberate choice, or...?
I was thinking, like, the next 20 years. I was thinking of, you know, when I was thinking of...
you cannot just
LISA.
Say something
LISA
is going to be detected. I mean, you have to have some idea. I mean, just saying that, yes, there will be something that... Now, of course, there will be lots of astrophysics. There won't be any doubt about that. We already learning more about a lot more astrophysics. The question is, does it shed light on quantum black holes? I mean, one thing that a lot of people here care about is, of course, I mean, quantum gravity is a big unsolved problem, but one of the great manifestations of it are black holes, where basically all aspects of quantum mechanics and gravity seem to be in play. So that's Steve, go ahead. Yeah.
Just a comment, independent of the answer to that question, you know, it's a really interesting question, and you could have just as well asked, you know, what's the odds that we're going to see supersymmetry in the next 10 years, and you'll get a spectrum of opinions, but, you know, it's an interesting question, and we should be going after it.
Yeah. I would say it's even less severe than that particular example.
That's a bad example.
It's not a perfect example.
So I go back to liquefying helium. Why would you do that? You know, you make stuff cold, you have the Debye theory of solids, what the hell are you trying to find? And you find superconductivity and superfluidity and all kinds of awesome things. So every time you look under, a big shiny new rock, there's a decent chance you'll find something. We've been surprised over and over.
The history of astronomy is filled with every time you open up a new... window, you see something.
Exactly. In fact, gravitational wave astronomy thus far has been a tremendous disappointment. The only final thing that people predicted.
Not really. People were not putting a lot of money in 30 solar mass black holes.
That's true.
One thing is discovering something for astrophysics, and the different thing is discovering some fundamental physics. And the problem here is that the Planck scale is. I mean, that's the...
That's the key question. It's a quantum question.
Yes.
We want to get an answer.
We know that the standard model of black holes, or at least,
yes.
There's a widening belief
yes.
that the standard model of black holes must fail at event horizon scales.
Yes.
Yeah. So this, and I should add to that in these mergers, you get deviations of order one from the standard state of black holes. So this combination... of needing a new scale, which is much larger than the Planck scale, maybe not the event scale, maybe not the Schwarzschild radius scale, but some finite scale, and an excitation that is the highest excitation possible, this actually leads to the expectation that if there is something there, you will see. And if now you're, I think, there almost no sensitivity for features, right? You're 2 sigma or something like that. So when you go down in sensitivity to features, I think there should be, if there is something there, it should appear. And then, of course, there would be other perturbative type corrections, but here you should see order one or some finite deviation because you're looking at situations where if there are differences like that, you should see them.
By the way, this change, this consensus that you mentioned, has really changed in, you know, 10 or 15 years that I've been looking for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the beginning of that period, everyone told me nothing happens at the horizon. You have to go to the Planck scale.
It's not
you'll
a consensus.
You'll never see that 20 orders of magnitude.
No, I don't think it's a consensus.
No, I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that. Very good.
It's a very selective group of people.
Yeah, we actually agree on
that.
Well,
so before I take...
Well, it's easy to say nothing's going to happen down the Planck scale if you can't even observe the horizon scale. Right? I mean,
I just want to make a comment. I've said this before. The string theorists never miss a chance to make their theories untestable.
It's a misconception. I
was hoping to provoke some people, so maybe some of the string theorists could prove me wrong. Paolo, you had it.
Yeah, so I wanted to revert Alex's question. So suppose that we do observe some change at the horizon scale. It seems to me that all the models that we have discussed these days, say two walls, gravastars, path walls, will give a very similar phenomenology.
Do they?
No. If you have a surface and you have something soft, it's completely different.
But for example, the time scale for echoes are different for fuzzball. If something has horizon or for the gravastar, it has a center, so things go.
Soft gravitational structure.
Right, or there could be other type of a structure.
No,
yeah.
There could be others, but say, well, both models, I guess, can accommodate echoes with the same time scale. I mean,
No. The horizon scale and the gravastar will be different because it has to travel through and out.
But it changes logarithmically, so.
I don't think it's logarithmically.
The details will be quite different,
yeah.
I imagine.
I'm just going to tag along to your comment that I mean to say this with the most possible respect that I can say.
Don't bother.
As someone who I'm on the same camp of Alex, that is trying to get predictions, because LIGO will only find what LIGO is looking for unless it's incredibly loud and then it looks very odd. I mean, there are tons of models out there from deviations from GR and exotic objects. Almost all of them have the same product. They're either ill-defined, sufficiently big that even if LIGO doesn't see anything, someone says, "Oh, I can fudge it this way or that way." So we're in extremely dire need of really definite predictions that LIGO can go look for, because otherwise, I mean, time keeps passing. There are 2 decades of just because people keep throwing the same name, I'm not going to pick on it. But gravastar, okay, we've known them for 20 years, and yet we don't have a model to say how does it behave. We're going to push it beyond this quasi-adiabatic thing, which is far cry from really even knowing where they're stable or not. And so where are we gonna be? LIGO's data is there. We have it. We can go and check things. But if we don't have models,
what are we gonna do? That's the challenge, I agree.
Samir?
Yeah, I was just about to ask a question similar to the one that you may have asked, almost like an open question. In trying to get the solutions to whatever black holes might be doing in the quantum domain, how many people would think that we have to change one of our basic beliefs like locality or causality or one of these things, or we would actually like to get the solution to everything from the quantum domain by just sticking with physics as we know it? So just to give my prejudice, I think with string theory, we will not actually be breaking any of the usual beliefs we have of quantum theory or locality or anything, and it still seems to work and fit everything. But we may have to break some postulate, which is very basic. And so if you're going to talk about different categories of theories and how to narrow things down about what we are seeing, I was just wondering from a theorist perspective, how many people want to give up what basic beliefs.
Because how are you not breaking your code? You have this very, 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 local paneling from some sort of class.
But it's not non-local.
To make it more interesting, put a price on every post to me. To make it more interesting, put a price on every post to me.
But I think what you're saying is correct. It's not really clear in what sense, say, fuzzball formation, if it happens, roughly just before the horizon forms, is a local process.
So
needs to be shown.
Yeah, it has to be obtained from a Lagrangian, which is completely local. There's no nothing faster than outside the light cone at any point.
Well, and by the way, in gravity, define local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do you avoid
in quantum field theory, we define local in terms of commutativity of subalgebras of observables at like separation. That just fails in gravity.
Okay, let me just say something very simple. In string theory, we haven't actually found any evidence for propagation outside the light cone. Is that enough, and can I solve it?
Yeah, but in gravity, in even just weak field perturbative gravity, we don't have an equivalent definition of locality.
Outside the light cone?
What's that? No, gauge invariant observables not commute outside the light cone. It's been demonstrated, in fact.
Okay, so then let me ask the question this way. Are these effects you're going to get from breakdown of locality going to be really the order one effects that will help us solve something or observe something? So are we really changing fundamental physics in some way, or is the same, whatever extent we know string theory as a local theory, going to pile up in some collective effects, but no new physics is being put in, and string theory will just spit out from ultimately local Lagrangian everything to come out?
Well, again, what do you mean by string theory as a local theory? Define locality. The issues in gravity illustrate that there's at least a subtlety about how to think about locality in a theory of quantum gravity.
Okay, so just to make a statement, I think string theory doesn't have the kind of effects that I think you were postulating.
Okay.
This thing that I was talking about, the energy and angular momentum are recorded in infinity. Are you saying that's not true in string theory, or?
Energy and angular momentum are recorded, but I think if you say all the details of the hair or degrees of freedom inside are recorded, I would say it's not true.
So do you think, suppose you do put it in some anti-de Sitter space, supposedly the density of states is finite there, but are you postulating that there's really an actual degeneracy, that there's many, many states that have the same energy and total angular momentum?
I'm not sure I completely for you.
I think you can, maybe Don Merrill can do the more detail out even if you have degeneracy. But if you don't have any degeneracy, then the energy and angular momentum recorded at infinity tells you everything about the state. Well, and of course, if you have a superposition, you can get the superposition of the state. So, in other words, the only way that the energy and angular momentum at infinity don't tell you what the state is if there's many states with exactly the same energy and angular momentum. But is that possible?
I think that only argument referring to made by Bonhoeff and so on. I think it's irrelevant to the fact that whether information can come out of the horizon. I think it doesn't solve the information thing at all to say that information is outside in this sense. But maybe that's something detailed that we can talk about.
I'm not saying that gives a solution, but I thought, to my mind, that gives a pretty very strong evidence that the gravity is non-local.
Okay. In that sense, I would dispute that claim of Morov. I would dispute what Morov said in that paper, actually. So we can talk about it privately.
But
I think it's not correct.
The party line in string theory, and I'm not advocating this, I'm just going to state what I think is the party line. The party line is that gravity is holographic, ADS-CFT, and that is a certain kind of very non-local construction.
I think the implication of non-locality may not have been used correctly. It doesn't mean that information can be grabbed out there from you. That's what I'm saying. You can't release some information out because there's...
Yeah, that's a different thing. It's a question of whether you can change a state in one region without changing it somewhere else. But that's quite different from actually being able to send a signal. If we're part of the state, we can't change the state. God gave us the state, we're in it. There's no way for us to change it. So there's no way for us to actually... I'm not saying that you can send any causal signals, but I guess what I'm saying is God chooses to keep the same gravitational equations. Even God can't change the state here without changing it there. Of course, he could, but then he'd have to change the theory.
Okay. I think we've talked enough about non-locality. So I want to bring back a question to, okay, so there will be unavoidably people who might claim they see signatures of weird things, maybe echoes, for example.
Who would
so,
do that?
Yeah, exactly. But there will be crazy people out there that are going to claim that. So the question is, so when are you going to believe them? And actually, I don't think that's a very good question. No, I think that
I think the question is whether they believe themselves.
No, but those people are crazy.
I think when things are repeatable and seen in multiple ways. So I mean, one thing that I've said, you know, typically it's that DHT, if you see. With each independent measure that GR is the right theory, everyone will believe it. But we see with one method that there's some deviation, no one will believe it until we see it with multiple different guidance, that kind of confidence.
That's wonderful. So, and I think that's a good scientist response, but actually I was looking for Alex's response, which is saying that, what is it? No, I think it's a better... It's a likelihood, times the prior, and here's where they're obvious. So if I tell you, and that was the exact example, if I tell you that 98% probability tomorrow is going to rain, you're probably going to believe it, and you're not going to make much of it. But if it's 98% probability it's going to rain frogs tomorrow, you're not going to take it seriously. And that's the question, is that how much do you believe in raining frogs? And that goes in here, and I mean, for the past 100 years, we've tested GR, and we believe that. That's good, except that we also, for the past 100 years, tested quantum mechanics, and we believe that. And I think the problem is that if you close your eye on one side, then you might be misled. And that's kind of part of the purpose of things like this, that they say, we all come from very different communities and very much used to one thing, but there's always the other side, and they also have good points. In particular, quantum mechanics has been a very good theory of nature. So I just want to close, because it's getting late, you're already over time. There are other observations that we haven't covered here. For example, and one of my favorite ones is dark energy. Since I'm a cosmologist, that's actually how I got into all this. And we didn't really talk about it here, but I think there is also a connection between black holes and dark energy that could be explored, and that was how I got introduced to the whole topic. And there are lots of other interesting questions about whether, for example, the fuzzballs have a hard surface or a soft surface and things like that. Yes, go ahead.
You said black holes and dark energies.
Yeah.
So there's been a wide proliferation of phenomenological modifications of GR based upon dark energy.
Right.
And sometimes people get a little bit too ambitious in terms of dark matter and dark energy.
Yeah.
But is there any theory, some modified theory that explains dark energy that will have an impact on a black hole?
But that was my idea.
Right. So there was an interesting paper by William Andrew, UBC, Andrew's group, that they seem to saying that the dark energy is because of the microscopic fluctuations, and then when they average over macroscopic scale, then they will see an expansion. So I mean, they haven't, in the paper they haven't linked that with a black hole, but I think dealing with such kind of fluctuation at a microscopic scale is a way to link between the two things.
Yeah, but Bills would be the first one to say careful with the analysis they did, because they took only a subset of the equations and they don't even know if the solution to this subset is consistent with the full equation. So
it's
puzzling, it's something that people should look into it, but it's a far cry.
Right?
I have to point out that I had exactly the same interest and didn't talk about it here.
Right.
But of course, the interior of the gravity star is dark energy.
But is it at the dark energy you see today?
Well, it's a matter of scaling. If you have a black hole, it has a certain value. If you were inside such an object at horizon scale, it would have. Yeah.
So again, it's getting late. So I think there is a. So this answer to Lisa's question, so there is a numerical coincidence that could explain the scale of dark energy, which is the fact that basically
yeah, so
the dark energy we observe happens to be the Planck mass times Hawking temperature cube of a stellar mass black hole. And you could extend this by a model which has deviations from GR within the Planck length of horizon, something like Fuzzball flavor.
That's just the large scale coincidences. I bet the density is comparable to the.
Uh-huh.
Well, the inverse square root of that is the age of the universe, and the, I mean, it's one of these large scale.
It's the right answer, but it's the model that gives the right answer, and that's what.
How accurate? What's the accuracy then? So one solar mass.
It's 30 solar masses.
If you put 30 solar masses there, it's within an order of magnitude.
Yeah.
Is there a logic? Is there a logic which can be put on that? Any reason for this?
So the reason is, I didn't want to do this. So we can talk about this. But yeah, so we have a paper about it, and I think that's it. Okay, good. So let me wrap this up. I think the best way to end this. Thank you everybody for coming. This was a lot of fun. Jim actually said last night there was a truth to gravity, which was it keeps our feet on the ground, our heads up in the air, and money in our pockets, which is very good. I just wanted to add to that, basically, also it has to talk to quantum mechanics, which keeps it interesting. Thank you.